Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk, and today we have a busy docket. Big news, Fotos Doulos, Michelle Traconis, and Doulos' former civil attorney all arrested for the death of Jennifer Doulos. Next on the docket, Curtis Flowers update, a dumb criminal contestant of the day, and get to show you where we went on a field trip. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk. Thank you for tuning in. If you like our channel and you haven't already done so, please subscribe. Hit that little bell notification so that you receive word of when we go live or put up new content. And as always, leave us a comment. We want to know what you think, particularly today on the docket. First, Fotos Doulos arrested. Michelle Traconis arrested. Former civil attorney of Fotos Doulos. Kent Douglas Mahinney arrested. Conspiracy to commit murder for Michelle Traconis and Mahinney. First degree murder, murder and kidnapping for Fotos Doulos. Nearly 7 months have gone by and Fotos Doulos has remained free. Not charged with murder, but simply charged with tampering. Michelle Traconis was charged with tampering, out free. Traconis has a $2 million bond. Fotos Doulos has a $6 million bond. And Norm Pattis, Fotos Doulos' attorney, believes that he'll actually make that bond. Now, the affidavit for arrest warrant is out there, and it provides a little more detail than what we had before. Not much, but what we do know that new information is that the former attorney, Kent Douglas Mahinney, is charged with conspiracy to commit murder. Now, Mahinney withdrew his representation of Fotos Doulos as soon as he was charged with the other tampering case. Additionally, Michelle Traconis has been charged. Now, I personally thought if there was somebody that was going to roll in this case, that it would be Traconis, something similar to what we had here in Colorado in the Patrick Frazee matter, where Nurse Crystal Lee Kenny rolled on her boyfriend and told him what exactly happened. The police have always believed that Fotos Doulos and possibly Traconis were lying in wait. Basically, when Jennifer Doulos returned home into the garage from taking the kids to school, that basically she was murdered and then the parts of the body were disposed at another location. So according to arrest warrants, police believe that Fotos Doulos was lying in wait when Jennifer Doulos arrived home from dropping off their children at school at the new Cannon right about 8.05 a.m. on May 24th. Now, the police allege that two people resembling Doulos and his now former girlfriend, Michelle Traconis, were captured on video in Hartford, Connecticut, later that night, around the time his estranged wife was reported missing. The police also contend that Fotos Doulos was seen on video dumping bags that were later determined to contain his wife's blood and clothing. Now, this is all according to an arrest warrant. In a separate arrest warrant, it said that Fotos Doulos and Traconis took a red Toyota Tacoma pickup truck belonging to a Four Group employee to a car wash in the days after the disappearance. Police also allege in the warrant that they believe Fotos Doulos drove that truck to New Canaan the morning of Jennifer Doulos' disappearance. It's also alleged in the affidavit that Fotos Doulos urged the employee to remove the seats, which were later found to contain his wife's blood, according to police affidavits. Certainly, it's a lot easier if you have a body when you have the wife who is missing, nowhere to be seen again, and her blood is scattered about various vehicles. And I'm sure that the employee who is asked to remove those seats is cooperating completely because he doesn't want to go to jail and be an accessory or an alleged co-conspirator in this crime. Fotos Doulos was arrested at his home this morning, and just prior to the police arriving, Norm Pattis, his attorney, arrived at his residence as well. He apparently had heard a rumor that his client was going to be arrested, so he drove to the house. Obviously, the police weren't going to interrogate Mr. Doulos as they know that he is represented. Now, Traconis was also arrested, and they both are to appear tomorrow for an arraignment in this case. Norm Pattis stated that he was actually somewhat relieved that this case has finally been charged, so that now he can prove that his client is in fact innocent. Those are pretty bold statements that a defense attorney should not be making, because the defense does not have access to all the information at this particular point. And so to be making predictions like that are a little premature. Now, what's also premature is that shortly after Fotos Doulos was arrested, that the New Canaan Police Department tweeted, quote, justice, end quote. Don't take that victory lap just yet, but we'll wait and see what the evidence is. Now, Norm Pattis, the attorney, has basically put out a couple of theories for his defense. One was this Gone Girl defense, that basically Jennifer Doulos faked her own death and has left basically to get Mr. Fotos Doulos arrested, similar to the book and movie of Gone Girl. The other theory was that, once again, Jennifer Doulos actually had committed suicide, and this was a suicide revenge plot because she was ill, as evidenced by apparently some $14,000 in medical bills just prior to her disappearance. We'll see how that plays out, but I personally, unlike Mr. Pattis, would keep my cards much closer to my chest and not tip off the prosecutor to any defense out there. I understand the court of public opinion, but the only thing that matters at the end of the day is those 12 jurors in a jury box. We'll see how this plays out. Next on the docket, a quick Curtis Flowers update. For those of you who do not recall, we covered this case of Curtis Flowers. Why? Because the case went all the way to the Supreme Court. Now, why did it go all the way to the Supreme Court? Well, Mr. Flowers had been tried six times for the same crime. Either the case had been reversed when he was convicted, or it ended in a mistrial. The justices on the United States Supreme Court in a 7-2 decision reversed basically because the prosecutor got rid of every minority that was on the jury panel each and every time. That district attorney was the elected district attorney, and that's by a gentleman by the name of Doug Evans. Well, yesterday, Doug Evans filed a motion to recuse himself, and now he's asked that the attorney general in the state of Mississippi take this case over. The attorney general of Mississippi now has to decide how she is going to proceed. She can get familiar with the case or have her deputies get familiar with the case, decide if they can go forward on it. They can make a plea bargain with Mr. Flowers, see if he'll accept something for basically credit time served, perhaps. And then the alternative is to simply outright dismiss the case. Mr. Evans has basically said that he believes that he is preventing the justice that the victim's family deserves in this particular case because of his presence in the case. The local newspaper down there has basically said that the case is no longer about the victims or Mr. Flowers, but about Mr. Evans, so it's time for him to go. It's unfortunate that it took all these years for this district attorney to realize that he was the problem and just go try the case fairly. So at the end of the day, everybody had a fair trial, and that's how justice proceeds. We will keep you updated as to how the Mississippi Attorney General is going to handle this matter. Next on the docket is our dumb criminal contestant of the week. But don't worry, he is a professional drinker. That's right, a gentleman by the name of George Emanuel, 54, was pulled over and showed the typical indicia of being impaired. Bloodshot, watery eyes, slurred speech, odor of an unknown alcoholic beverage, and ultimately when the blood test was taken, the blood result was a 0.218, some four times over the legal limit. When he was talking to the police and they asked him if he had anything to drink, he has, of course, said he had two drinks. Why? Because everybody who's ever been pulled over for a DUI always says a couple or two. Well, you don't get a 0.218 by simply having two drinks. Doesn't happen. Maybe two quick guzzles of something, but not two drinks. If you figure just roughly, each drink is 0.025. Two drinks get you to the impaired limit in most states of 0.050. And three drinks will probably get you very close to the legal limit of 0.08 in most states. But remember, in most states, DWAI is 0.050. My advice is get an Uber. It's a hell of a lot less expensive. Mr. Emmanuel is still awaiting charges, but it is not a good thing to tell the police that you are a professional drinker. Why? Because that is going to be the opening line if this matter ever goes to trial, or if he takes a plea and at sentencing, the judge will hear that he is a professional drinker and is going to order that he complete all of the alcohol classes and abstinence during his time on probation. And usually, professional drinkers have a very difficult time in quitting drinking. So that's not good as well. Now, I've always thought it'd be interesting to try, and I've had several clients over the years that were professional drinkers, and they were usually pickled about the 0.218, maybe the 0.3. But if they didn't have that, they would start getting the shakes. And I always thought it'd be interesting to try, but I never had a client that was willing to just go for it and basically say he was drunk. Yes, he was, but it did not affect his ability to operate that motor vehicle, even to the slightest degree, and therefore, you know, find him not guilty, because if he was sober, he wouldn't be able to drive because he would have the shakes and wouldn't be as attentive. Never had a client willing to do it, but one of these days, maybe we will. Now, next thing on the docket, I told you yesterday, took a quick field trip. Yes, the lovely Miss Kristen had a meeting in the city of San Francisco, and yes, parts of it are beautiful. Other parts are an absolute armpit. There are parts of San Francisco where there are simply homeless people camped out everywhere, clearly signs of drug use, feces around the area. But for the most part, they're trying to keep it nice. And most citizens that I talk to that reside in San Francisco truly believe that the homeless crisis or problem, whatever you want to call it, out there is completely out of hand. But I guess we can't do like we did in the old days, and those were considered basically quality of life crimes, where you can't, you know, take a big dump on the city sidewalk. Why? It's a sanitary, it's a health issue. San Francisco, you can do that these days. They're not going to prosecute you. And in fact, most crimes aren't being prosecuted in San Francisco, which has a huge increase in crime, particularly thefts and breaking in of vehicles, because unless it's above $950, I believe is the magic mark in California now, basically you get a summons. It's not a felony. So nobody matters. So criminals, if you want to commit crime and don't have to worry about it, simply get a summons, probably get probation, go to San Francisco. But back in the old days, when there was law and order and discipline throughout the world, yes, there was a little jail out there called Alcatraz. Now, Alcatraz started out as a fort. And after the Civil War, the Army continued to have it, and it was turned into an army prison. In 1934, the Federal Bureau of Prisons kept the facility open until the mid-60s, where it was ultimately closed due to the cost of operations. And there was a big movement at that time regarding basically prison reform. There was a big push, kind of like today, where instead of punishment, it was based on rehabilitation, given the fact that most prisoners someday were going to be, in fact, released, so let's make them a better person. Now things have shifted much farther, and now a lot of people, like in San Francisco, are not arrested for nearly anything. And don't get me wrong, I'm not promoting that people should get arrested for lots of stuff. As a criminal defense attorney, there's lots of stupid laws out there, and there's lots of cases that shouldn't be prosecuted. But Alcatraz, great real estate. It's now run by the Park Service, and apparently they're doing some sort of Native American History Month, because in 1969, a group of Native Americans overtook it, saying it was their land. And so now the Park Service has written on the water tank, as well as some of the signs there, to replicate what the Native Americans had written on there when they were occupying this property. very interesting, but there are lots of very interesting things that just aren't worth getting into when I was there in San Francisco, particularly there at Alcatraz. What I think is interesting is to take a look at some of these views, take a look at the prison, look at the cells. These were single man cells. There were roughly 330 prisoners there at the maximum. And a lot of times the most notorious prisoners were held in Alcatraz. Alcatraz was the now equivalent of our modern day ADX down in Florence, Colorado, where we send the shoe bomber. We send the El Chapos of the world, the notorious criminals that you don't want to have contact with anyone so that they cannot communicate and have contact with more bad guys to do that. And literally they're held in single man cells. They get TV. People in Alcatraz in the 50s got radios, or they were able to plug in to listen to a radio system. So prison was never completely inhumane. Apparently there's a dungeon facility way down low that apparently officers had heard of maybe once or twice. They were used where prisoners were shackled to a wall for a short period of time. Do you believe that? And obviously Alcatraz was known for some of the very notorious criminals that were held there. For example, Al Capone, George Machine Gun Kelly, Robert Stroud, the Birdman of Alcatraz, Roy Gardner, Henry Young, Alvin Karpis, James Whitney Bulger, and Mickey Cohen. Most of these organized crime type of figures were there, and they were there because of maintenance issues, and the plan was that these people were not to have contact with the outside. They didn't get information regarding the outside world via newspapers, radio, anything like that. They could listen to sports. That was about it. So, hope you enjoy it. I think there were some great views, always interesting, and just wanted to take you on a field trip. Thanks for watching Crime Talk. Have a great day.